We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, Colts Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Bring the Juice, your guys, Cody and Derek, back with another one, guys. As you noticed with the title of the video, are the Indianapolis Colts from their 2024 draft haul winners or losers? We're going to talk about that, but before we do, just want to remind you guys, this episode is presented by Prize Picks. Be sure to hop over to prizepicks.com or their app, and when you sign up, use the code BTJ for $100 deposit match. All right, Derek. So I figured this, we did this last year around this time post draft. And so I figured we could kind of talk about, you know, because obviously nobody knows at this point. Everybody feels like they're a winner from the draft, but we can kind of talk about it and look at, I think, a couple different factors. Number one, obviously, where the Colts took this player. Was this player a reach? Was this player a steal? Was this player pretty much like right on the money when it came to where a lot of people projected them to go? And then obviously talking about the needs for the Colts and how these players could potentially impact in a positive way early on, push for some playing time, provide quality depth, anything like that. So without further ado, Derek, of course, we have to start with the Indianapolis Colts first pick here, a little bit different than last year, a little bit further down. But the good thing is, Derek, with the Colts selecting Laiatu Latu, with the run we saw on offensive players, 14 straight offensive players, the Colts had their choice of any defensive player they wanted in this draft. And obviously they chose Latu. They felt like he was the best defender in this draft. And, you know, by all metrics, Derek, they're not far off from what people have said. You know, with Latu, and obviously we know what he's done the last couple of years at UCLA with the sacks, the tackles for loss, the pressure rate, everything for Laiatu Latu would point to that. Derek would point to him being really, really good potentially for the Colts and it translating very well to the NFL level. So what would you say about this Latu pick? I know we've talked about it a lot, but you know, the Indianapolis Colts had a choice and they picked this guy. Pretty much number one overall on defense.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this pick to death, but you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a guy that the Indianapolis Colts did not think they would get the chance to be able to draft. And when they did get the chance to do that, I mean, they were insanely fired up about it. I mean, as you should. I mean, you get a guy that can have 26 sacks in the span of two seasons, regardless of who you are in college. I mean, that's a fantastic stat line to see when you're looking to try to get a player of that caliber at that premium position. I mean, what's there not to love? You know, and this is definitely a winner's pick because, like you say, you got to pick the number one defensive player in the draft, and this is who you drafted because you deem this guy to be the best defensive player this upcoming year. And you ask a lot of people that watch the sport and actually understand a thing or two about the game of football, and they'll tell you the same exact thing, that this is a guy who was clearly the best edge rusher in college football last year and has one of the highest upsides to be a great player in this league. So fantastic pick, and we'll continue to talk about it for a long freaking time with Latu until we see him actually play.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, man, I think that's why you see so many different people giving this a very high grade. It's because, I mean, by all metrics, Derek, if it wasn't for, you know, some people I know obviously pointing to that injury he sustained when he had to medically retire, you know, people saying, I mean, number one, if that wasn't even a concern, which I think a lot of people have kind of come around and said, you know, that was like 3 years ago at this point. So how much of a concern is it? Obviously, the Colts did their homework on him. So you think if the injury and also just the run on offensive players, I mean, I really truly believe, Derek, that Latu probably would have been a top 10, if not a top 5 pick in this draft if there weren't so many teams that wanted offense. I really do believe that because we've seen different guys that he's been compared to. You know, you talk about Nick Bosa. I know people talk about that a whole lot. You know, how Nick Bosa and Latu, they're kind of on a different level they were in college compared to a lot of other guys. I know there's been comparisons to like TJ Watt. I know he was taken a little bit later in the first round, but you know, some of those premier edge rushers, like a guy like Latu in last year's draft, for example, when you know there weren't, I mean, there were still a few quarterbacks, but there was only what, 3 quarterbacks taken there. Like, I think Latu would have gone a lot earlier in last year's draft if he had the production that he had coming into this year. And so definitely think from that metric. And then just from a need standpoint, Derek, it's a major win for Indy. I mean, I've talked about it to death. I know a lot of people were pounding the table for corner. I personally always held to, and I didn't think the Colts would do this, so I never really mocked them taking a defensive end. But, you know, Derek, you know my feelings about how you need to have that elite guy. Like, you have to have that guy that strikes fear into the heart of opposing offenses, right? You need that guy that can single-handedly wreck a game. I mean, Derek, how many times have we seen, even in the own division of the Colts, players like Josh Allen, even Jeffrey Simmons, like wreck games? I mean, even the past, J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, those type of players, right? Like, they wrecked games. They changed the outcome of different games. And you might have looked and said, you know, on paper, the Colts might have had 1-53, a better roster, but that one position, that one elite edge guy, he ultimately made such a big difference in that game that, you know, the Colts lost that game. So, I mean, I think it's so, so critical. And right now, I think prior to this pick, the Colts had a lot of players you liked, but they didn't have that guy, right? Now, time will obviously tell with Latu if he's going to be that guy or not. But I think on paper, he has that upside from what everybody has said. The production matches it to be one of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
Oh, 100%. I mean, the ability of this guy is absolutely insane. I mean, every metric that I've seen, Latu has every single thing going for him. He's got a great mindset. He's got a great attitude. He's got all the right skills to make him a successful football player. Can he put it all together? I certainly hope Charlie Partridge and Gus Bradley can figure that out.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on now to the Indianapolis Colts' second round pick, pick number 52. They selected Texas wide receiver Adonai Mitchell. Derek, certainly for us, probably our favorite value pick that the Colts got in this draft because, I mean, you saw, Derek, even in some mock drafts, people had Adonai Mitchell going in round one. Like, not just like a couple people, a lot of people had him going either late round one, early round two. Indy was able to not only get him in the middle of the third round, but actually trade down, acquire a few more later round picks, and still get him here. I mean, Derek, on paper, Mitchell has everything you're looking for in a wide receiver. I mean, the dude's, what, 6'3", 6'4", 205 pounds. I mean, he's an elite separator, right? He does all those things that you really like a lot from a wide receiver, and he has that potential, Derek. And I've said it throughout the entire draft process at looking at Mitchell. I mean, you know, you talk about the RAS score, which is right there amongst, I mean, I think it was the best out of any wide receiver in this draft, but he's also got the production. And I think the upside is so, so high with a guy like Mitchell. I mean, he's only 21 years old, Derek. So like he has a ton to go. And I mean, last year, what, 55 catches, 11 of those were touchdowns. So like this dude makes big plays as well. And so I was personally shocked that Mitchell was there when he was for Indianapolis. Now, again, same with Latu. He has to go out there and show it. But I think when you look at this, this is a major win for Indianapolis because a lot of people who weren't pounding for corner were pounding for a weapon in round number one. And they were upset when the Colts, I mean, you've seen people who were upset about the Marvin Harrison thing. You've seen people upset that the Colts weren't able to trade up for Neighbors. You've seen people upset the Colts didn't take Brian Thomas at 15, right? So for the people that wanted weapons, the Colts were able to get a weapon in round number two. And Derek, similar to what I said with Latu when it comes to just, you know, how kind of the draft shaked out, but I think also more so the depth at the wide receiver position this year. I mean, I think Derek in, you know, previous drafts where the wide receiver class wasn't as strong, I mean, it was probably one of the more historically deep classes we've seen in a while. I think in previous years, he's a first round pick. I really do believe that. Or certainly earlier than he was taken by the Indianapolis Colts. So what are your thoughts on Mitchell, and what are your thoughts on the Colts nabbing him in round number two?
Yeah, I really don't see a situation where anyone else thought this was a bad pick by the Indianapolis Colts. Again, the only reason that Adonai Mitchell, for the most part, fell off was, you know, that report that came out that said that this guy didn't interview well, or, you know, people were off put by him, and that, you know, he's got these, you know, issues with committing to the game of football, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know,
the Indianapolis stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it was a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that report came out, a lot of teams bought into it, and the Indianapolis Colts did not. And I mean, this was a player that was just as productive, if not better production wise, than some of the other guys that got taken before him, even in the second round. And from a high upside and potential because of ability, he has just as much as any of the rest of them. I mean, outside of somebody like the top three guys, or maybe potentially even Brian Thomas Jr., there really isn't another wide receiver in this draft class that has as much potential or more potential than Adonai Mitchell. I mean, it's that simple. So if Adonai Mitchell comes in and he's ready to ball and he actually takes advantage of what he's got going on with Indy, like he said in the draft episode, he's going to make the Colts look like geniuses. So, I mean, that's what I'm hoping. So,
I love that confidence, man. And obviously we've talked about Ballard as well. I love the fact that he came to Mitchell's defense, you know, and he's a guy that's just going to come to players' defenses. Doesn't matter if they're on his team or not. We saw him do that last year with CJ Stroud. So I love the fact that he stood up for Mitchell. And, you know, I just love that fact that, you know, he believes in Mitchell, believes in what he's going to do, and believes the character's just fine with Adonai Mitchell. So definitely a great thing. We talked about, you know, just the fact that he's going to be under the tutelage of guys like Reggie Wayne, Michael Pittman Jr., you know, a lot of guys with very level heads. I think that's going to do wonders for him, regardless of if he had issues or not, character-wise. I mean, I think it's going to be a tremendous situation for him to walk into at the wide receiver room for the Colts. And we obviously know the type of player he can be. We saw glimpses of that at Texas last year. So definitely think that's a great thing for a player like Adonai Mitchell here. And obviously great value for the Colts as well. Because like I mentioned, he was a fringe late first rounder, second round type of guy that got pushed all the way down to pick 52. So definitely great for Indianapolis. All right, let's move on, Derek, now to, you know, more of the mid rounds here. So round number three for the Indianapolis Colts. It was a little bit surprising to see at first, but the Colts selected offensive lineman from Pittsburgh, Matt Gonzalez, out of Pitt. So they selected him in the third round. And obviously, offensive tackle is what he was listed as, Derek, but he potentially could slide inside. And I know, like, his athleticism maybe fits a little bit more of an inside profile from what we've seen. But regardless, the Indianapolis Colts obviously felt like right now in the immediate, their depth was definitely something they needed to address. But in the near future, a guy like him, he definitely could have a role, a starting role for the team, maybe even as early as next year. So talk to me about him. I know some people, he was kind of all over the place for people. Some people said he was maybe like a round four guy. Some people said, you know, he was a top 50 pick if he didn't get hurt. So what are your thoughts here for the Indianapolis Colts in this pick, a pick that kind of surprised some people here?
It's kind of funny because he was the first mystery pick for the Indianapolis Colts, my fans' perspective, but yet I think became one of the fan favorites of this entire draft class. I mean, just from the reaction alone to being drafted by the Indianapolis Colts, I think just won the fans over. Like, forget everything else. Just the actual reaction to being drafted that night was just such a huge thing for Matt Gonzalez that it just it was an instant tearjerker for everyone, and everyone just felt the exact same way. And listen, I mean, it is what it is. You can feel how you feel about it, with it being too early, being too late, whatever. At the end of the day, the Indianapolis Colts got a offensive lineman who is going to be good quality depth for this team moving forward, and potentially has the opportunity to steal a job from someone here in a few years if he so chooses to and keeps up with the program. And by just that draft episode and what we saw from him, I don't see any way how you could possibly think he wouldn't. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts had got Gonzalez was basically like their prototypical prospect at the offensive line position, which I found quite interesting. But regardless, he's definitely a guy that factors in right away, potentially. And I know some people are kind of split on this, but potentially could he push for right guard? We'll see on that. Be interesting to see during training camp if he indeed does. The Colts play him at guard or more primarily at tackle, because then that, you know, if they play more at tackle, then what happens with Blake Freeland? I mean, there's a lot of different things that are going to happen there. And I'm just intrigued to see how this offensive line shapes out with him kind of in the mix now in the interior potentially, or really anywhere on the line. He's played both left and right, but potentially could slide in. So definitely right away, good depth for the Colts. But moving on to round four, Derek, for Indianapolis, they go back to their offensive line. And I think, Derek, you know, talking about how Adonai Mitchell was one of the biggest steals in this draft, I definitely feel like this guy, Tanner Bordellini, in round four, he has that starting potential. Like, I really do believe if this guy can put on 5, 10, 15 pounds this next offseason and get a little bit stronger, you know, I don't know about you, Derek, but I get very much Bernard Raimann vibes out of this guy, right? A little bit undersized, like in terms of his weight, a little bit light for an offensive lineman, but he's not that light, right? He's, what, 200 pounds, 205 pounds. But you think if he puts on a little bit more strength, gets a little bit stronger, that will pair well with the athleticism that he has. We know very much how athletic this guy is. I definitely think this is a great pick for Indianapolis. Right now, like we talked about, same with Gonzalez, is just the depth, but really projects as a guy that next year, if the Colts decide, you know what, we want to go with a guy that's going to be our future, and they see that from Bordellini, he could be the center of the future for Indy.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because when you look at Gonzalez in round three, they talk about how he's the blueprint guy, which is kind of funny when you think about it, because for the majority of the offensive line, the majority of the offensive linemen for the Indianapolis Colts are much better athletes than Gonzalez is. Quinton would be, Bernard Raimann would be, Smith would be. I mean, I don't know about Kelly or Fries at this moment, but I mean, it'd be pretty close. I mean, you get some offensive linemen Yeah, you get some offensive linemen on this roster that are some solid athletes. And, you know, I mean, Gonsalves, while albeit is a relatively good athlete for the size that he is, he's not known as an athlete, which is kind of funny because when you talk about the blueprint guy, I don't necessarily know if you're talking about it just from a player stature standpoint or just how he represents himself, his play style. Maybe that's more of what they were talking about. But when you look at Tanner in this spot, he is the prototypical what Ballard has kind of been going with offensive linemen as of recently. Guys that are a slight bit undersized for the position, maybe could afford to put on a few pounds, but other than that, you got guys that are strong, guys that are athletic, guys that are smart, guys that come in ready to do the work. And that's kind of what you have this situation being for Tanner. But, I mean, it's kind of funny. You went opposite ends of the spectrum on who you drafted from a physical standpoint in this. But, nevertheless, you went and got a couple different guys that – you really think can be the future of the offensive line for the Indianapolis Colts, and it's especially being good quality depth for this year. So, hey, I love the picks.
Yeah, and then the funny thing is about Gonsalves is we say he's not that athletic, but when you move him down to guard, Derek, he still scores an 8.54 RAS score. So, like, he's not as athletic as all the other offensive linemen, but he's still athletic. Like, he's still got that athletic traits that you like, but he's just such a big human being as well. That definitely is helpful. But with Bortolini, I think it's interesting again, Derek, because this is the third straight year the Indianapolis Colts have done this in rounds 3 or 4. Is they've gone and gotten a guy that has all the athletic traits in the world. I mean, going all the way back, Bernard Ryman in 2022, Blake Freeland in 2023, and now Tanner Bortolini in 2024. They've gotten all these guys that the athleticism's no question, but they just need to get a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. And, you know, obviously we saw Ryman struggle a little bit early in his rookie season when he had to kind of be thrown out there. We saw Blake Freeland struggle a little bit last year. But, Derek, there's a proven blueprint for the Colts and how they're doing this with their offensive linemen with some of these guys they're drafting is they believe that they can get them up to playing at very high levels. They really believe that. If they just have a year or two in their system, they get a little bit bigger, they get better with their anchor, right? There is a noticeable pattern here. I don't know if you've thought about that before, but 3 straight years the Colts have done this. And obviously time will tell on a guy like Blake Freeland and Tanner Bortolini, but you have the blueprint now with Bernard Ryman. I mean, look at the jump he made from year one to year two. So now the Colts kind of have an idea of how they want to go about it. I wouldn't be shocked, Derek, if in a year the Colts do something similar in rounds 3 or 4, where they take even another athletic offensive lineman that doesn't have to start right away, but eventually could become a starter in the future. I would not be shocked in the slightest if the Colts did something like that. But we'll see how it works with these guys, but definitely think, man, it was a big win for the Colts to get some guys that immediately provide depth, because we talk about how important it is to find quality depth and how difficult it is to find quality depth. I mean, last year, Derek, the Colts at one point had to play a game without both their starting tackles, right? So it is critical that you get, especially at tackle and especially guys that can play both, getting some players that can step in and play serviceable enough football where you don't have a Matt Pryor situation, where you don't have a situation where you don't have an answer waiting, right? Or you don't feel comfortable with a guy jumping in and being that answer right away, right? And you don't have to have that be a liability, right? You could have 4 of your offensive linemen playing at all pro level, but if you have that one weakness, teams are going to expose that. That's just how it goes. So definitely think it was smart for the Colts to invest immediately in the depth perspective, but also looking forward into some guys that potentially could compete for starting spots even as early as next year. So definitely big win there for Indianapolis.
As we said, guys, today's episode is sponsored by Prize Picks. Now, what is Prize Picks? Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Instead of battling against thousands of other players across platforms, you're basically picking 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you're choosing more or less on those stat projections to be able to watch those winnings roll in. It's very easy. Do you guys want to play along at some of Prize Picks' favorite players like rapper Meek Mill and UFC fighter Sugar Sean O'Malley? Well, if you guys sign up today, you can find the community plays under the promos tab of the app to view the entries of some of the biggest names on the platform and be a part of that as well. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 just like that with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Like a lot of other things, guys, they also offer injury insurance, so your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So if someone exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays live. So it's great bounce back for that one. What I love about the app as well, guys, is it's not just sports like NBA, NHL, football and tennis and baseball and all these other things, but there's also a lot of others that go into it as well. If you like to place entries on video game situations like Call of Duty, CS2, Apex, if that's something that appeals to you, there's a wide variety of sports and video games and everything else that you can place entries on. And I love how expansive it is. Even just looking at the NBA, there's entries you can make with turnovers, with points. You can do combo deals, dunks, field goals attempted, all these different things. So there's just so many different ways to make money off of these entries. Be sure to download the app today and use code BTJ for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code BTJ for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, it's sponsored by Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Now, Derek, moving on to round 5 and round 6, and kind of the final day here of the NFL draft for the Indianapolis Colts, day 3, the Colts had a lot of picks, actually, and in large part because of what they did when they traded down in that round 2, and they acquired 2 fifth-round picks. So they started with 7. They ended with 9 total picks. So we saw the Indianapolis Colts doing a lot when it came to the trade market. And so let's move to now for Indianapolis. Their first pick in the 5th round, Oregon State wide receiver Anthony Gold. 5th round, they had Missouri linebacker Jalen Carlisle. Final pick in the 5th round, pick 164, they had Auburn. They're listing him as corner. We'll see Jalen Simpson. So talk to me about these 3 5th-round picks Indianapolis Colts had, and what do you think about them? Were the Colts smart in taking these guys? Would you consider these based off of where they were projected to go as some wins for Indy or not?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I mean, you found a couple different guys here that, you know, can actually fill a role for you actually relatively well, especially on special teams. Obviously, with Gold, you know, he's, barring anything dumb happens, I think he's going to just end up being your special teams guy, your main return guy, because, you know, with the new rules and how things work in that regard, He's just the perfect guy to have in that scenario. Carlisle, I think, could end up being a special teams ace at some point too, because his game is perfect for special teams. A guy that flies to the ball and just absolutely destroys people when he hits them. I mean, that's the perfect guy you want for a special teams guy to be able to lay the wood down on a couple guys occasionally. That's the kind of thing you want for that particular spot. We'll see what his defense actually looks like when the season comes around. And if this is the same thing with Simpson, I don't know if Simpson's going to quite be a special teamer, but I'm interested to see what they do with him specifically, but I think that his role would be a lot less than you would see with guys like Gold or Carlisle there.
Yeah, and we'll see. And when I think of specifically a guy like Carlisle, I mean, to me, it's the perfect scenario of what the Colts did in certain ways. I know they're obviously physically a little bit different, but with DJ Speed, you remember that? Round number five, you know, a guy that started off on special teams, earned his way up. You know, he started and, you know, I think Gus Bradley even said for a little bit, he didn't even play on special teams, right? But he figured out that role, you know, became one of the best special teams players in the NFL. Then obviously this last year finally got his chance to be a full-time starter. So could a guy like Carlisle, could he have that opportunity, but starting on special teams and then in a couple of years, say DJ Speed's contract's up? Could the Colts be looking to have a guy there waiting in the wings for him? We've seen them do that, Derek, with linebackers, similar to what they've done with the offensive linemen. It's like they've drafted guys a little bit later with some traits, and they just trust their guys to develop them. So I'll be interested to see that. You're talking about Gold, obviously one of the best returners in college football over the last couple of years. So definitely going to be a big factor in there. But I do think, Derek, he's not just a guy that is always going to be a special teams guy. I think eventually he might have an opportunity to contribute on this offense in some capacity, right? Obviously, right now, we know the Colts have Ashton Doolin slotted into that number five role, but I think eventually Derek Gold could easily take that number five role, potentially even further. I guess we'll have to see on that, because not only is he just a fast guy, I mean, he's over a 9 RAS score, so he's certainly got some good things there. And then with Simpson, I mean, he's just a ball hawk, Derek. You saw what he did last year at Auburn, taking the ball away at a really high rate, so definitely think he is a guy that you would love to see kind of what his role is. And again, I'm still very curious, like, where he's going to play, because, you know, we heard kind of in the combine him say, you know, Indy liked him better at free safety, but a lot of people are saying out corner. So I don't really know. Maybe he'll play a little bit of both. I guess we'll have to see on that. But we've got two more picks here, Derek, for the Indianapolis Colts. One guy we got to talk about, because he was the complete anti-Build-A-Ballard type of prospect here, but ball ability and the stats, they don't lie with a guy like Micah Abraham. I mean, no doubt, Derek, Micah Abraham out of Marshall, he's a guy that's so interesting because we saw what he has done in his last few years at Marshall. Again, not the greatest competition in the world, but this kid has been so productive for the Colts that they actually went against what their philosophy has been the last couple of years. And they took a shot at this kid. So what are your thoughts on a guy like Mike Abraham?
I mean, Ballard mentioned it the exact same way. I mean, it's just, he's one of those guys where, you know, the athletic traits are not there, but at the same time, the production doesn't lie. I mean, that's just something that you just can't make up. And it's just something that you just try to understand. And That was such a weird pick for us, because we were always looking at, like, there's his RAS score is terrible. So what is it about this guy? And we even said it, like, this guy has to be super productive. And I mean, what, 10 interceptions in his last two seasons at Marshall? So, I mean, what's there not to love about that, right? So definitely awesome.
Yeah, and I know, Derek, that, you know, the Colts really don't have an answer right now at backup slot. So that is interesting to me. Like, could Micah Abraham potentially kind of be that backup slot guy? Because obviously he's not the biggest guy in the world. What, he's like 5'10", 185 pounds. So he's not that big, but maybe slot's kind of his primary position there. And you could actually have some real insurance with kind of a young guy here and kind of let him learn under a player like Kenny Moore, who's, like we said, one of the best slot, if not the best slot corner in football. So we'll be interested to see there. And then the final guy, this was kind of interesting, but Ballard did get back, Derek, to kind of his philosophy when it came to athletic guys. And he took a guy with upside here in the seventh round to conclude this draft, Oklahoma defensive lineman Jonah Lalu. And that was definitely interesting because, you know, Lalu's a little bit of an older prospect, similar to Abraham. You know, he played a number of years between a couple different colleges, but the athletic traits are there, Derek. So, you know, why not? The Indianapolis Colts take a shot here, take a chance, and just kind of see maybe they can get some more out of him, tap into some of those traits. We'll see on that. But what were your thoughts on a player like Lalu?
Yeah, like you said, the guy with the upside and, you know, the athletic traits, we'll have to see once again if he even makes it out of camp. But yeah, you're right. He did go back to his original status of you know, just trying to find those more athletic guys that, you know, can find a way to try to be camp bodies.
And I think that's what you do, you know, in round seven, certainly you take athletic traits and you like bet on it and say, hey, this guy might work out. He might not, but you know, we're going to give ourselves a chance with a guy that physically he could do it. Now, will he do it the other ways? We'll see. But yeah, guys, that is it for the 2024 draft. So Derek, we asked the question, we'll ask it one more time. Do we believe the Indianapolis Colts are winners or losers from this draft? Before you answer, I will say we don't know. Like, nobody knows at this point. Everybody thinks they're a winner. We've seen the draft grades. Heck, people have given the Colts the worst draft grade in the AFC South to the best draft grade in the entire draft. So literally nobody knows. And, you know, Derek, I know we've done draft grades in the past. I personally am, like, trying to get away from that because I kind of think it's stupid to try to even give a draft grade at this point because you just don't know. I mean, even year one, like, it's hard to know fully, you know, what that draft grade would be because there was a lot of incompletes last year for Indy. I think it's really something where you look back in 2 to 3 years or even when their rookie contracts are up and you start to have a conversation then. But anyway, sorry, what were your thoughts there on paper from the factors that we talked about, from where these players were projected to go, the needs the Colts potentially filled, and everything else there? What would you label this Colts draft, a win or a loss?
Oh, I'm definitely saying it's a win. I mean, I'm certainly not – I certainly wasn't leaving this draft thinking we were losers. I mean, you got a defensive lineman who you think has the potential to be your franchise defensive end for the foreseeable future. You left this draft with multiple wide receivers that can help you in a plethora of ways. You left this draft with some great offensive line depth that you really, really needed going into this year. And you brought in a couple different guys that can, you know, battle for some special team snaps and, you know, maybe get some other stuff to go through. So I thought this was balance-wise, I think this is one of the better drafts that Ballard's had in recent memory when you talk about, like, overall balance of the picks, especially for how effective each of these picks can be. I mean, I easily can see the first six picks of this draft getting significant snaps this year. Significant snaps. Now, the only way Bortolini and Gonzalez get snaps is if somebody gets injured. It's very rare that offensive linemen don't deal with some kind of issues throughout the season. I mean, the Indianapolis Colts got really lucky in, what was it, 2021, I think, when that went down. But yeah, it is definitely going to be a thing where I think the first couple picks, the first six picks for Indy, I think were all home runs given the spots that they were at. And I think it's going to be really fun. I think this is going to be a great draft for Indianapolis going forward.
Yeah, and if they can somehow in free agency come away with some sort of impact player in the secondary, I think it'll make it even a little bit more sweeter, right? Because like we said, a lot of people talking about how the Colts should have addressed, especially corner in the draft. I mean, we were even talking about safety. The Colts, I mean, they did in round five, they addressed it, but they didn't like seriously address it in the first 2 days. So the Colts can come away with one of those veteran guys, whether it's, you know, a guy at safety or whether it's a corner, I think it would be a major win for the Colts, but we shall see on that. But guys, let us know your thoughts. Do you believe the Indianapolis Colts were winners or losers in this draft? Curious your thoughts overall. That'll do it for this one, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, guys, go Colts.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to buyoptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at buyoptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.